Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Geek News Central podcast for 28 December 2004. And I hope that everyone had a wonderful and happy Merry Christmas. And the last few days has been quite the turmoil here at our house. We had a great Christmas, had really no complaints. And unfortunately, the news that came out of Southeast Asia with the earthquake and the tidal wave concerned us. And initially, it was because of family in Japan, but Japan obviously was not affected by that. But one thing that we are still concerned today with, we have a cousin who was in Thailand, flew in on the 22nd, and she was there for 2 weeks, and she has not checked in, and we're very concerned. The four other girls that she was with, our understanding was that they were going to stay in the Bangkok area, and some of the other people in the group that went have already checked in, and they have not, and we're a couple of days into this. So obviously we are concerned that hopefully they didn't go to Phuket, but we got our fingers crossed that they're going to be calling back. Today, my sister was over here, and she is, basically she's her baby was due, and she was over at the house, and they had went and done some shopping today, and they came over, and we had watched the kids this afternoon. When she got here, I could tell she wasn't feeling very well, but yep, you guessed it. Off the hospital she went, and about 6:44 p.m. tonight, Honolulu Standard Time, I became an uncle again. So her and I are now even. She has four children. Her and her husband have four children, and my wife and I have four children. So I think we're all done having kids, but the mom and baby are doing well. Now, on top of all this excitement, today was my last day at a job, basically, that I have I'm changing departments or changing organizations, but I'm really staying with the same organization, but working with a different department. And, you know, it's quite an ordeal. You know, you spend 7 years of your life dedicated working with a group of people. And then, you know, to pack the desk up today was kind of a sober moment. And I know some of them listened to the show. Some comments out to those guys saying it's been terrific working with them. I'm excited about my new position that I start on 10 January. And the wife and I are going to be taking a little bit of vacation time. We're probably going to take 2 or 3 days and go to Vegas. And get a little R&R over there. And it seems to be Vegas is a place those of us that live here in Hawaii like to go. It is relatively inexpensive to fly to Vegas from Hawaii because of all the people that are flying over. Now, on the last podcast, I made an offer up that the 20th caller to the voicemail line at 619-342-7365 would win $20 from Geek News Central. Well, folks, there's 16 voicemails that have been called in. So you've got a little bit of time left to still score our Christmas money. So I need 4 or 5 more people to call into the voicemail line so you've got time to do that. As always, I want to hear comments about the show to geek@geeknewscentral.com, or you can Skype me at Geek News Central. Now, I had hoped to have some more information for you today. I wanted to be able to release the info that we've been holding out on for tech podcasters. But I will say this. I've been talking to 2 or 3 main tech web bloggers, along with some others, and I have a proposal letter put together with that I've been working with my partner on, and he's doing the review on that tomorrow, and he's going to say, yeah, that's what we want to do, that's where we want to go, and we're going to publish that release. So For the tech podcasters out there, if you have not sent me an email yet, please do so, and we will send you the information via email probably tomorrow evening. So that being Wednesday. So you'll get the information on Wednesday evening. Now, I hate to keep you in suspense, but what I may do is I may do a short podcast Wednesday night outlaying what we want to do and our plans for the tech podcasters. I think it's exciting. I think we have a good firm grasp of where we want to go with the project and the parties that, you know, that we've gotten a good response from the tech podcasters. I think about 20 or 25 of them have sent emails in saying, hey, send me the info when you have it, and we're going to do just that. Now, I'm looking down on my initial list here of podcast items in my show notes. Let's see here. We talked about that, and that. Okay, so we're going to go into the content here. And be honest with you, the holidays and everything, we've all been busy. And I know some of you are still on vacation. We'll probably get this much later in the week or even after the new year. So I'm going to go over what news I've dug up today. And with all the stuff going on with my sister having a baby and the cousin and, oh God, it's been an interesting day. But anyway, here's the items. Found a cool review of a Media Center PC. It was basically something that someone got for Christmas. And they went through and took a look at what it could do, and talked about the setup and everything. And it looks to me like TiVo, and this is how they've worded their post. It says replace TiVo with Media Center PC. And as always, we'll have the link up to the website. But I may have to check one of these out. These things are pretty cool. I may have to go down and see if the local computer store has one. But pretty good review. First impressions from the people that set it up. And so let me know what you think about it. I know that a bunch of people have been raving about the Media PC. And I kind of dismissed it initially as a fad item. But I guess we'll see. We'll see what everybody else has to think about it. There is in Fortune magazine, 10 Tech Trends for 2005, it talks about basically that weblogs are still, I think, have not reached their potential, and that they're saying in the magazine, if you can't beat them, join them, and it's happening with blogs. You know, a lot of companies are getting on the blogging web bandwagon, and we're starting to see wider acceptance. So I'd be curious to see what happens in the next year with weblogs. Now, I'm sure as we get closer to the end of the week, and there's going to be a lot of people making predictions about what is going to happen in 2005. I'd be honest with you, I don't know. I have some good ideas what's going to happen with podcasting, but with weblogs, your guess is as good as mine. But, you know, send me some feedback. Let me know what you think is going to happen with weblogs and podcasting in 2005. I spent some time on the phone with Robert Scoble on Christmas Eve, and him and I were doing some discussions about the ideas I have for tech podcasters. So I was a little surprised to see today that he is going to take a few days off. Apparently there was some feedback that wasn't super positive that got underneath. It looks like it maybe got underneath his skin a little bit, but you know, when you're writing as many, I told him he was a machine. You know, on his link blog, he does so many posts. When he gets to firing stuff into his link blog, I can go in there and I can pull out 20 gems from all that information. I don't know how he goes through the data so fast, but to be able to produce that many items on his link blog. But, you know, there is a certain amount of burnout that happens to web bloggers over time. And every once in a while, you just have to push yourself away from the keyboard. And I'm not in the mood to push myself away from the keyboard right now. Things are really rolling good, and the readership is up. Listenership is way up. And Robert, take a break, man. Get the batteries recharged and come back where we don't want you to go too far. Great commentary, and we want you to continue to put it forth. And if everything works out right, we're going to be working with Robert, not in relationship to Microsoft, but another project he has going. It's going to be part of our tech podcaster features. So more on that when we announce Wednesday. Okay, Engadget has a pretty cool, what they did is they searched the patent application database, and they actually came up with some pictures of the iTunes Music Store backend. I apologize that I am yawning here on you guys. That's about the third one in a row, but it is extremely late, and I'm absolutely, as usual, getting this in the can very late at night. But anyway, they've got some screenshots of the iTunes Music Store backend, and looks pretty simple. You know, I would have expected it to be much more fancy than what it is, but doesn't really look all that complicated. Just goes to show you that big things can be built with cool, you know, easy to use tools. Now, in the security news front, eWeek is reporting. They reported this on Christmas Eve that three new Windows vulnerabilities have surfaced. So we're going to link that in and let you guys take a look at that. So, you know, this is like the vulnerability of the week type of report that seems like Microsoft continues to put out. I kind of took interest this weekend when I heard about all these people that were stuck. You know, Comair, they had 1,100 flights that were canceled because of computer troubles. Now, how bad could their computers have gotten taken down? You know, did they get taken down? Were they hacked? Were they databases? Were they? It's just amazing that the airline could not continue without their computers. It just shocks me. Now, I'm going to link in also another article I saw about someone was going through an airport, and they took a picture with their camera phone. Let's see if I can find this where I've got this at here. Well, anyway, what it was it was a arrival and departure screen, and on that screen, believe it or not, was a pop-up window from, it looked to be a McAfee antivirus, reporting a virus. Now, let's think about that, folks. You are going to go fly. You go to the airport. You check in, and you go down to the look at the arrival departures, and you see a television screen with a virus warning up in the middle of it, covering the arrival departure notices. Would that make you sit back and go, a little bit? So, you know, what's going on? What happened with Comair? Did they have a virus? I'm not suggesting that they did, but it makes you wonder, doesn't it? It really does. So, also, being that this tis is a season for people to be scammed, there's a pretty cool scambuster.org website out there. They have a newsletter that you can subscribe to, that will let you know of all the new scams, pranks, how you can protect yourself online and offline. So we'll put the link up for that. And thanks to Locker Gnomi for the link. Now, I had always assumed that 911 services were available throughout the United States in all localities. Turns out in Tennessee, a small rural jurisdiction is just getting standard 911 service. But they're starting to tie that into voice IP systems. So they're trying to make the back end work so that when those are on voice IP, when they dial 911, it is registered where the call is coming from. It appears that only one out of 95 counties in Tennessee have that capability right now. I didn't even think it was possible. But the Ziff Davis article goes into that a little bit. So I thought it was kind of an interesting side note, you know, being that I'm considering voice IP service here in Hawaii, I'm just wondering what happens if I need to dial 911 on my phone and there is no offering of an 808 area code here. Now, a couple of you sent in suggestions to go to Verizon. Well, Verizon is like Big Brother. You know, their pricing is no better for voice IP service than it is for their traditional landline offering. So I wanted to go with a company like Vonage or something like that that had a great package at a low price and have a local area code. Well, no local area code. So it makes me even wonder what would happen, let's say, if I get a California area code and I dial 911. Would I get a California operator? That would be bad, especially considering I've got kids in the house. So something I'm going to have to think about. You know, it's not like the kids can pick up the cell phone and dial 911, and that still doesn't do you no good. So I'm going to research that a little more and see if I can find out how the 911 service works with standard voice IP accounts when you don't have a area code in your local area. There is some talk. I saw the talk on Scripting News, and also there's an article on Ziff Davis that talks about, it seems, you know, I quit linking to New York Times articles about a year ago, because what was happening was the New York Times was taking the articles after about 2 weeks and they were removing them. You could no longer hyperlink to them. So it appears they've shortened that up and their archives are dropping off after about a week. And I wondered when these guys are just going to get a clue. You know, are they that stupid that they're going to, you know, they spend all these millions of dollars building this news network up. They have it online, and then they just archive the data, and it's inaccessible behind, you know, on the front, and you know, basically inaccessible to the general public without logging into their site. It really makes me wonder. There is a article out about a gentleman that is under lock and key by federal authorities. He had 13,000 software titles basically on his computer, and it looks like he was, I don't know if he was selling disk or if he was just allowed to be downloaded, but his house was raided back in April earlier this year and took down a whole bunch of people that were distributing Juarez or, you know, illegal software. And this guy is facing sentencing up to 15 years in prison. It just shocks me. 15 years in prison. Now, I understand the seriousness of the charge, but I don't even think some murderers are getting 15 years. And this guy's going to get 15 years for having some shareware on his, I mean, software on his computer. I don't know if he was selling disk or what, but wow, that's amazing. So go out there, folks. Make sure you buy your software. Don't hack it. Support those authors that create software that you like so that they can create and improve the software that you're using. Now, Wired has a great article. I read it in its entirety, and also the linking article. There's a link to the article about a couple of gentlemen back that in the early days of business at Apple were sneaking in and basically they were writing some code as a contractor, and the project got canceled. And to make a long story short, they'd been kicked off the Apple campus, and even though they were real motivated, they wanted to finish this project, so they were going back into the Apple campus by, you know, tagging along behind people to get in through doors, et cetera, to write this software code that is, or this program that is still being released on Apple machines. And it talks about what they were doing. And these guys actually hired subcontractors and paid for it out of their pocket. Great article. And there's also a website that's associated with this that goes into, you know, the basically experience that he had in the details. So it goes to show you, if you want to get a project done and are dedicated and willing to sacrifice, you can do it. So those of you out there that are thinking about doing a project or doing something on the side, don't be afraid to do it. Go out there and give it a shot. Doug Kay over at IT Conversations, he has set up a podcast RSS feed page. It has a listing to topics of interest, has conferences and events, IT Conversations series, which includes the Gilmore Gang, Memory Lane, Voices in Your Head, Law and IT, all great shows. So I'm going to put the link up. Go over there and support Doug. And, you know, this guy is has got some great ideas. And I spent some time talking to Doug also on Christmas Eve about our tech podcast thing and making sure that what we were doing was not going to bump heads with him on what he is doing. And it looks like we're good, but he has some great ideas and some features that he hopes to build into the IT Conversations website that we would like to do on our tech podcast site. Now, I'm telling you too much. But anyway, he's got some great things here. So go ahead and check out what he's doing. I put the link up to the page I'm talking about. And support Doug. You know, he is out there trying to monetize this business of podcasting and putting up these great feeds of conferences and information. You know, send him a little PayPal donation. Or if you've got a lot of money, send him a big PayPal donation. Now, and surprise me, I got one from Chris Prillo. And Chris basically said, hey, I'm going to be producing a tech podcast starting in with the launch of Consumer Electronics Show. So he is going to be doing a regular podcast. I'm sure it's going to be great. We'll see what he has to say. I am looking forward to hearing the first one. And Chris, if you're listening to the show, make sure you send us a clip so we can promo it here. And we will also make sure you get hooked up with the rest of the tech podcasters that are going to be involved in our project. Okay, let's see, where else am I at here? Okay, computer, what's the computer doing? Oh, those of you that are getting ready to do a job change, there's a great video over at the feed room. It talks about high-tech hiring procedures. So if you are getting ready to do a job change or getting ready to come into the market, check out this feed room video. It might give you some ideas on what firms are doing today in their hiring practices. Also, Six Apart, the makers of TypePad and MobileType, have moved offices. So there's a real great write-up on stupidfool.org about some reflections of what happened in the last year at the old offices that they had in San Mateo. And you know, I can tell that this guy has a lot of heart into the product that he is working with, and that being TypePad and MobileType. So check out what he has to say there. Pretty cool. There we go. The site that I was going to tell you about that had the screenshot of the Windows error message was on Ernie the Attorney, and we'll put that link up. So it was for a little further down in my tab browsing that I have going on here for doing the show. Also, Slashdot has an article out that talks about broadband usage up by 38% this year, which is, I guess that's amazing, folks. You think about that, a growth of 38% in a solitary year for broadband usage. Whew! I just wish they'd get broadband out in the country where my folks live, so whenever I go home, I'm not on dial-up. Now, I did get a Skype message from a listener today that wanted me to look at the iPod Linux project. And they've made some great improvements to that source code, and they did a release on the 20th of December. So Slashdot has a pretty good article about it. And I'll have both the links up, the Slashdot article and a link to the iPod Linux installer page. So, hey, these guys are staying busy. In space today, most of you have probably already heard this, but the Progress supply ship docked with the International Space Station And so those guys do not have to evacuate here on the 30th. They're going to be able to stay on board, and there's food and water, and some laptops, and some Christmas presents were delivered. So they have the resupply mission was successful, and they're going to be able to maintain activities on the International Space Station at the same levels until the next resupply ship that's going to be launched in a couple of months. And, you know, say what you must, but the Russians have got to be slapped on the back and thanked for keeping us in business at the ISS. There's in the news today about a slight impact risk from an asteroid that they've discovered, and it's reached a they have a scale of it's a 0 to 10 on a Torini scale, and the highest number that's thus far is that's been ever associated with an object has been given a rating of 2, and basically, they're saying that there's a 1. A calculation, I'm going to read directly off the site. The asteroid 2004 MN4 was discovered in June and reobserved last week. Calculations of asteroids orbit based on the current set observations shows that there is a 1 in 300 chance of the object colliding with Earth on April 13th, 2029. So we got a few years. Late Friday, the odds improved to a 1 in 60 chance of impact. These impact odds and its size, approximately 400 meters in diameter, have led NASA Near Earth Object Project to rate the object 2 on a 0 to 10 Torino scale. So, yeah, they're looking, folks. So we got a 29 years heads up for this one. So 400 meters, what kind of damage can that do? I'm sure huge. Especially if it hit in a coastal ocean area. Talk about a tidal wave. Okay. The Cassini space probe has launched one of its project probes towards the Saturn moon Titan. And everything has indicated that it separated correctly. And now we're going to have to wait, I think, a couple of months before the probe actually does its descent into Titan. But what's cool about this probe, it's got cameras and all kinds of sensors, so we might actually get to see this thing on its way down and get to look at a foreign planet. So that'll be kind of cool. All right, I think I have covered everything I wanted to cover today. We're going to leave you with a little music from GarageBand.com. As we leave you with a little music, be sure to check out the website at GeekNewsCentral.com. Send comments to the show at geek@geeknewscentral.com. Get in on that money. Call 619-342-7365 and leave a comment about the show. Or you can always Skype me at GeekNewsCentral. We look forward to hearing your feedback and comments, and also we're excited about sending you that new information later in the week, and look for a midweek show this week. So with that, we leave you with some music. Everyone have a great, great week. Bye-bye.
caught on a